Blog Talk Radio.
And this is Any Which Way But Loose. Oh, yes. It is going to be a very, very hot night tonight. I have four beautiful ladies right now here, and one hopefully will be arriving soon enough. And by the way, yeah, I thought whoever said it was cute, the promo, I will mention it again. I've got my A, B, C, and D with me, the loveliest ladies in the land. Let me start with the A of the apple of my eye, Ashley Fontaine. Good evening.
Good evening. Thank you for having me as a guest tonight, Bennett.
It's so weird. Now you're on the other side of me, so it's like, yeah, okay. all kidding aside, what are you up to slightly? Save all the good stuff later for when I ask for your links, spinks, and jinxes. You know that.
Oh, you know, anything and everything. New book coming out, movies in the works, you know, life is crazy, but it's great, so.
Bree Clark, would you like to tell them a little about yourself? A little, remember, save the good stuff for later.
Well, I am an Aries. No, I really am. I own a publishing house, and I own a social media marketing company, and I am a mother of four children and four dogs.
Oh, boy.
And the queen of Z Radio.
See me, Candy O'Donnell. I just had my cover reveal for Z Radio today. Everybody should have at least caught a glimpse of it. I actually had two promo companies and my PA and all kinds of good stuff, so I'm very proud of it. Can't wait till it's released next Saturday.
And let me say, this lady has a tea time that I don't miss, other than it's not a golf time, a tea time. Delaney, are you still with us, Delaney?
I'm still here. I'm trying not to laugh too loud. I've got people sleeping in my living room. So... My eldest son and his girlfriend live with us, and they sleep on the couch. They have to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, so they're already asleep. I do have a tea time. You're correct with that, Bennett. It's one of my Blog Talk shows, Delaney's Tea Time, and I am also an author, and I have another show, What's Right for Me, and I talk to other authors. So, ladies that are here this evening, and Bennett, I will be contacting you to be on my show at some point. So be prepared.
I love your show. I really do. Ken Farmer came up to me, and Lindsay Downs was a guest on your show with Ken Farmer.
Mm-hmm.
And Ken Farmer says, Lindsay said you're a hoot. I need to do your show. And I'm like, sure, why not? Yeah, it's like Delaney says you're pretty good, too. I'm like, oh, hey, yeah. So it's like, yeah, two recommendations in 2 minutes. That was really, really
absolutely
good.
And Ken did my show
last year, and he says, I'm coming back. It's a hoot. So I have to clarify something, folks, to the audience, because somebody sent me an IM saying, you know, if I'm on drugs or alcohol, you know, doing this 90-minute show, you know, because I'm always hyped up and I'm always having a good time. And I got to tell you, I'm a diabetic. The only drugs I take is insulin, but I'm not hyped up on insulin. I'm hyped up right now on jelly beans, dietetic ones, and diet cherry limeade. So if somebody says, what are you on? Now you know.
That would be it.
But while I'm here and while I'm asking about what I'm hyped up on, what are your favorite food vices and drinks and why, ladies?
Chocolate.
You knew that was a method to my
madness. That's a dangerous subject.
Go ahead. We have 90 minutes.
Chocolate wine.
Chocolate definitely. And my favorite alcoholic vice is Moscato, which I happen to be drinking a glass of right now.
Oh, I want to come to your house. That's my favorite.
No, mine is what I got. Go ahead.
I don't drink alcohol, but my, it's there, and if it's in the house, I'm going to eat it in, one sitting. And that's the Linder's white chocolate truffles with the white milky center. They're oh my gosh, they're just like melting your mouth. And, it's just they used to have them where you had to, it was the variety pack. Mm-hmm. And you would have to, and I would always save them for last because I was like, they're so good. And I would hurry up and eat all the other ones. And then the dark chocolate ones I would give to my husband because I hate dark chocolate. And so now he has dark chocolate all the time, and I'm like, why did you start eating this? And he's like, because I know you won't eat it.
Well, come to the dark side. We have cookies. let me just say one thing, because we've missed this young lady. She just came in. Madison Zavir, are you with us?
I sure am. I'm running a little bit late, but I made it.
You're here. That's all that matters.
As long as it never happens again. We can never let it happen again.
Oh,
well,
okay.
You know what? Next time, I think I should be flogged. I should be.
Oh. We have wet noodles for you later.
Oh, cool.
We have a nine tails of wet noodles.
We're talking about food vices. What's your favorite?
Oh, my goodness. Right now, I'm on an Italian food kick, to be honest. I go through stages, binges of something I like, and that's my big one right now.
So what Italian food are you binging?
On pasta salads.
Ooh.
Isn't that crazy? A salad. I mean, that's all I've been craving.
We're all going to her house.
Come over anytime, I'll tell you. Yep. We have these cupboards full of junk food, and I had so much over the holidays that I just can't even think of anything else sweet right now. I think that's what it is. Everything's salty right now. I go through salty then sweet, then salty then sweet.
Mhm.
So nothing too exciting. I said a salad.
I'm glad she said that, so not me. There's a song called Addicted to Love. I think you guys heard it. It's been around forever. It's now, I think Revlon is now using it for their ad. And other than food, what else are you addicted to? Other than me, of course.
Oh, well, that's a hard one, isn't it?
I was going to say, Bennett always tops any list. But food and music, got to have music. Always
have
to
have music.
What kind of music?
It's easier to say what I won't listen to. I won't listen to rap. Except for the old style stuff, like Tone Loc. I like Tone Loc, and I'll listen to some of the real old stuff from the 90s. But I
you mean you won't listen to William Shatner going, Mr. Tambourine Man, Mr. Tambourine Man?
No. No, thank you. And I don't like real twangy country. I like country. I mean, Willie Nelson is one of my favorite artists, but I won't listen to the twangy stuff. Because that gives me a headache. And there are some of the indie groups that, after a while, give me a headache, too. And my son gave me an old CD for Christmas that he got at a thrift shop. And I don't remember the name of the band. But it's, from the mid-90s. And I was listening to it, and some of it was pretty good. And then it got to, made me think of Alice in Chains with Tantric, and it was sucking all the life out of the room, so I quit listening to it. It was awful. It made me so unhappy. It's called The Tea Party, That's the name of, I think that's the name of the
not
Cat
Stevens, the Tea Party. No, no, not that
no,
one.
No, 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 not Tea for the Tillerman. This is okay. Some, there's some metal band that calls themselves the Tea Party. And, yeah, not a big fan.
No, 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 no. Yeah, let's say it this way. The closest thing I come to metal music is Pat Boone in a metal mood, okay? Does that tell you? Yes, I own that CD.
That's scary.
Oh, my God. Yes, I admit it. I mean, I do listen to my musical taste goes from Kiss to classics and from ABBA to Zappa. And, yeah, Don't Eat the Yellow Snow, and people's and Dr. Demento, oh, yeah, and Christine Lavin and the Four Bitchin' Babes and other things like that. And people are like, you really like that? And I say, yeah. Even Simon and Garfunkel.
Oh, I like and even Simon and Garfunkel.
And if you haven't heard Garfunkel and Oates, you need to. They are great. And Garfunkel and Oates is not related to either band member. These are two young ladies. If they sung on last year, they wrote the song Bernadette from the last year's Big Bang Theory when Bernadette was put in the lab and Howard had to sing a song. It was their anniversary, and it was so beautiful. They really did a magnificent job, and they do humorous kind of pieces. And so I fell in love with these two ladies. Like, yeah, and really fun stuff. And they did an HBO show about a year and a half ago, and they are funny as heck. So, Candy, what's yours?
Well, it's probably not something you guys would listen to. I listen to, like, a lot of metal, a lot of Disturbed, Godsmack, Evanescence, Metallica.
I knew I liked you for
Mother,
all
I'll
of
listen,
Candy.
Yeah.
20,
30,
that works.
So I'll listen to Old Blue Eyes, Frank Sinatra. Tony Bennett.
Oh, yes.
Cruise, and we met
now,
him.
Now, with or without Lady Gaga? I'm just wanting clarification.
No, I don't listen to any of that kind of music. I think it stinks. Yeah, but that's, you know, that's what I like. And I love Christian music and classical music. I can listen to Mozart all day long.
Hmm.
Well, I'm having a problem lately with Tony Bennett and Lady Gaga. It's like, no, 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 it don't work for me. Yeah. I don't know why. It just, I don't know. Some people are like, oh, my God. You know, it's like, no, 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 no. But, you know, I'm going right now through my Blues Brothers period. There's once, in the beginning of January of the year, usually I go through my Blues Brothers period. You know, and run all six albums of the Blues Brothers. Not all. Oh yeah, I mean, most of them is basically Steve Cropper and Donald Duck Dunn, and some of the other boys. But you're not talking. It's not all Belushi and Aykroyd or Belushi and all the others. And you're not. You're talking only two soundtrack albums. The rest were just beautiful. You know, they had one which was the concert album, which they the first one before the movie, and then the two movie albums, and then the other three were just pure blues with Duck Dunn and Steve Cropper, who are both are no longer with us, and the music was pure blues with Alan Rubin, Mr. Fabulous on and Blue Lou Marini, oh God, yes, yeah, pure jazz,
cool.
Good stuff. And then people are like, "You're crazy." No, 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 no. I just know what I know what I like. So let me. While we're talking music, a lot of family occasions, and lately I've been to enough of them. Usually, the DJ or the band has to select a song or a piece of music for you. I've had such tunes as Star Wars Imperial Theme, The Entertainer. Mission Impossible, Rocky, the Batman theme, and To Sir With Love. So what's yours? Doesn't matter what tune or anything else, but what they'd be playing at a family gathering. By the way, I know Who's the Boss would fit all of you ladies perfectly, but Let me start with Madison.
Oh, my.
No, Bennett, but you're close.
The hardest question. Oh, gosh. I don't know, honestly, because I don't listen to a lot of music, mainly during the summer if we're out driving around because I have XM in the car, but other than that, I really don't listen to anything, so...
So if they were going to play, you know, they're introducing you, whatever, introducing you, you know how they have these family occasions. They always put some sort of music to the person for a candle or some weird thing. You know what I'm getting at.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they
well,
always
yeah,
have.
Then they, yeah, I've never been to one. So let's just go with Witchy Woman. How about that?
Ooh, I like it. I like it. I like... Santana. Ashley?
Well, this is, nobody's probably going to recognize this song except perhaps Candy. But there is a metal song by a group called the Stick Puppies, and the name of the song
oh,
is
God.
Don't Bring a Knife to a Gunfight.
Yes, I heard that one.
It's
pretty good.
Yes,
that is,
I know
that,
that one.
Answer.
Come on.
Mm-hmm.
I know that one.
But that is
that's
that
my
is
favorite
my
channel
that,
on
so.
XM.
Mm-hmm.
Bree, what's yours?
Oh, you know what? I don't know. From what I'm hearing, you guys probably don't listen to a lot of hip-hop. But
I listen to some, yes.
I listen to some on a good day.
So back in 2007, when Verizon Wireless had those, you know, song playbacks, so when people called you, instead of hearing your cell phone ring, they heard a song.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, mm-hmm. There was this artist named Kelis, K-E-L-I-S, who was a hip-hop artist, and she had a song called I'm Bossy.
Damn,
so
Bossy.
She's like, I'm Bossy. I'm the first girl to pull off the track. That's right. I switched up the beat of the drum, and I brought all the boys to the yard. And that's right. I'm the one tattooed on his arm. I'm Bossy. And so my...
I remember that. That's scary. I remember that.
So my husband, and you have to remember, like, I was a realtor in Middle Tennessee where, like, you know, the Bible Belt where there's a lot of, like, you know, you have to put on this kind of, you know, professionalism. And I was mostly professional, but I was also me and it leaked in. So my kids and my husband put this song as my playback music on my cell phone. And how often do you call yourself? I mean, like, how often do you call yourself and know that this song is playing? So they did this to me, and I didn't know about it until my bishop from my church called me. And he's like, that's a really interesting song you have playing on your phone.
I think this is why people
like,
think I'm drunk on this show because I laugh so much with all my guests.
And it was so funny, and I kept it on there forever, and I still have it. And like my daughter, who's like, she's 10 now, so it's been, you know, it came out when she was like, you know, 2 or 3. And so she was on like my iTunes, and she downloaded it, and she was like, Mom, I love this song. It talks about being a boss, and you know I'm a boss. And I was like, what is she talking about? And it's a song that had, you know, and so I would say that that's my song. I'm bossy. So there you go.
And Delaney, what's yours?
Oh, they wouldn't play anything except Crazy by Gnarls Barkley. They would have to. That's just to get this.
Is that the one that goes crazy? I'm crazy. Is that
no,
the one?
No.
They would play
wrong
that
crazy
on a mellow day. No, this one is crazy. I can't even begin to sing it. There's a song by CeeLo Green, but I don't think I should say it on the air.
No, we try to keep it peachy here, but yeah, I think I know the tune. Yes.
Yes, it's for days when I'm feeling really, really angry. I like that one, but I think just normally it would be Crazy by Gnarls Barkley, and it's the one I remember when I lost my mind. That one, that's Gnarls Barkley.
Sheesh. The one I think for me, and most people are thinking it's kind of strange when they hear it, but mine is from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Pure imagination, take a look and you'll find, you know. I mean, you know, but they've never selected that for me. They always go Mission Impossible, Batman, or whatever. But it's like, yeah, give me Pure Imagination from Willy Wonka, you know, from Willy Wonka.
You just need to put in a request.
Oh, yeah, but they don't seem to have that song. I don't know why. It's one of my favorites. It's not
Sammy
the favorite.
Sammy Davis Jr. sang it. He made it really...
No. That was Candyman.
No, that was
he
Candyman.
Never did...
That's right.
No. We're talking Pure Imagination. Take
yes,
a look. This is where Willy Wonka walks around. They're walking around the chocolate stream and, you know, kicks... Mm-hmm. You know, if you want to see paradise, simply go around
it, yes,
and view it.
You.
Yeah, I know. It's, yeah. That's... Anything you dream, just sit. Yeah, okay, never mind. Don't get me started on that song, okay. Talking about Willy Wonka, because I hate the Johnny Depp sequel. I really do. It's, you know, I hate
Touché.
It with a passion. Go ahead.
I said Touché.
You like it?
No, I don't.
Yeah,
I
neither
don't
do I. But, you know, I want your opinions here on this. Why do TV and movies, Hollywood in general, tend to remake or revise or sequel things? You know, like, let me give you a couple examples. Denzel Washington and Chris Pratt are going to do The Magnificent Seven. Mark Wahlberg is doing The $6 Billion Man. Of course, they've already done two, and they're going to do a third Star Trek movie. They're going to bring back Columbo, and CBS in the next couple of weeks is going to bring back The Odd Couple.
Oh, no.
Oh,
that?
Yeah. With Matthew Perry, no less. So,
business reason?
I didn't hear you. What?
Do you want the business reason behind that?
Yeah, I'd love to hear any reason.
Basically, what they're looking also, all anyone in Hollywood is really about when it comes to money is making more money.
Mm.
And so they take on things such as successful shows of a different era or successful movies that they have the ability to look at and see were successful. Like, they can look at this and they have all this data that they can use behind it. And they say, okay, we're going to take this formula that worked before, and we already have built-in people who are nostalgic who are going to be like, oh, they're going to at least check it out. And then they're going to bring their children or whoever's in the home with them that's younger who may recognize the actors who are being brought in to play them. So there's just a lot more there's just a lot more feeling good about spending money on something that's worked before, whereas with original ideas, you have to take more of a chance on, and it's really just all about the almighty dollar and where they want to spend that money.
Well, what scares me is there's a show I like, and I do like this show, called Girl Meets World, which is the sequel, basically, the 20-year version of the Boy Meets World, and now they're getting some of the cast from Boy Meets World, the old show, onto the new show, which is... However, the young lady plays Maya, is going to do... They're remaking Adventures in Babysitting, the Elizabeth Shue movie, for Disney Channel. That's scary. I mean... the film is 20 years old, and suddenly you're going to update this and give me a new version. I'm like, a little much. A little too much.
Well, Well, they did that with, like, Parent Trap and the Love Bug movies, remember? The Haley Mills, a couple Haley Mills movies that they updated and put Lindsay Lohan in instead. Yeah, that was a good financial decision.
I think part of the reason they do that, too, is not only because, as the other person said, I believe, was it Bree that mentioned about the financial reasons, but also they don't have to worry about, if you already own the rights to something that your studio produced years ago, you don't have to spend the money to purchase the rights to do something else. So if you've already got the rights to Star Wars, you don't have to expend that money, so why not make another one? Or if you've got the rights to The Odd Couple or The Love Bug or whatever, you know, it comes down, like she said, to the money. The less you have to spend in something that you know that's already been a success, then that's what they're going to do. That's why I think the indie film community and the indie music community and the indie author community is so amazing, because we don't have to stick to tried and true. We take the risk. And
the problem is,
I wish they would
make some. I know you're involved with the indie film community. Indie film community. There we go. I could say it three times fast. I'll really be good. I would love to see more films like that. They don't take risks in Hollywood these days. They used to do 60 films a year. Now if they do 12 or 13, that's fine. But they're remaking Cinderella, and they're remaking The Jungle Book for a live action with real animals based on the cartoon. A little much, even though neither one's going to have them singing, thank God.
I think things have changed too after what happened with Sony. Right, and after what happened with Sony and the fiasco with that movie, The Interview, which was an original idea that they came up with, and look what happened. It almost destroyed Sony Pictures, and it's gonna. I think that we are just beginning to see the effects of how that's going to play out on movies from now on. Not only what we see on the screen, but how they're released as well.
Wait a second. I think part of the problem with that Sony deal was the terrorists, because they threatened to blow up theaters that were going to run The Interview. They were threatened to do things. And it was terrorism by movie, you know.
I agree.
A lot of that has to do with clear back in September, there was a memo put out that they were going to try and just release it on YouTube only because they were losing money in movie theaters. People were more into instant gratification and ordering movies online, and some people wouldn't go for it. They said, no, it'll never work. I'm not saying it didn't happen, but next thing you know, they say they're not going to release it, and bam, it's on YouTube before it's anywhere else. So that happened.
Well, look,
the Sony memo
look at
that
the
was
Expendables.
Leaked.
The Expendables lost money because somebody leaked it online, the whole film. And it
this
lost
was put
money.
Out by Sony, though.
No, that was
Sony
Lionsgate
actually
that
did that.
Yeah, well, they didn't do The Interview. The Interview has always been either VOD or video on demand. But they ran it in a couple of theaters
is,
and it made money.
But which is what YouTube has now, has video on demand. You can pay for the movie right from your YouTube channel. It's
yeah,
video $15. On demand. It's covered under that. Yep.
$15.
For $5.99 to rent. Yep. So they've sort of gone right into that avenue right now, and which is horrible because now, you know, people will lose jobs. The less people that go to the theaters and stay home and watch movies, those people will be out of jobs because movie tickets are ridiculous. I mean, seriously, and they know that. And
you
more people
what?
Are interested
in
just staying
Idaho,
home.
You know what? Here in Idaho, during the summer, on Tuesday nights, movie theaters had what they called $5 Tuesday. And it was so popular through the summer that the movie theater extended it to every, you know, through the rest of the year. And when that movie theater started having so much success, every movie theater in the Treasure Valley where I live in Idaho now has $5 Tuesdays. And my husband and I actually moved our date night from Fridays to Tuesdays because it was cheaper to buy a movie ticket on a Tuesday night.
Then rent the movie. Yeah. Yeah, right now Showtime has their free weekend, okay? Now, I watched The Butler. Now, if you rent The Butler, if you go to the regular video store and you're spending, what, about $5? If you're going to Redbox, you're spending $2. On a free Showtime weekend, it cost me zero. I was watching The Butler and Delivery Man and a couple of other movies that I've missed because it's free on Showtime this weekend. It's like, yeah. But they don't have all the good ones. They're hiding them and waiting for next month when I'm not going to watch it. I'm upset. They're going to do all the good ones next month, and I'm not buying
That's
Showtime.
Not, yes,
it's too damn expensive.
Yeah.
For six movies, I don't have to buy Showtime for $20. No, thank you. Leave it alone. You know, $20 will stay there. You know.
Yep.
If I want to rent something, I'll go to the Redbox.
I just wait until it comes out later, and I watch Netflix. I watch a lot of Netflix.
Go live on Hulu.
Has anyone watched the new Sherlock Holmes from the BBC with Benedict Pumpernickel?
Cumberpatch.
Yeah.
Cumberpatch.
Oh yes.
Yeah.
So what is up with it? So I started watching that on Netflix, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is fantastic, and look at all these seasons. And then every season only has three episodes.
Yeah,
and
well, that's
like,
what they're doing, what British shows have been doing for the last 20 years, is doing a 3 or 6 or 9 episode show, season, and then next season they'll do another 3 or 6 or 9 episode show. Since each Sherlock Holmes is 90 minutes, 2 hours, you're getting two episodes technically. That's their thought. Look at Grace Point and look at Broadchurch, which are brother and sister shows. They did a 10-episode arc. A lot nowadays, a lot of shows are going to go to the 8 to 10-episode arc, and if the show succeeds, great. Look at ABC with their new Gallivant show, even though it sucks. I'm going to say that publicly. It sucks. Okay, thank you. I expected Monty Python, and it sucked. Gallivant, Agent Carter, though, hey, I want to see more, and they're only going to do 7 episodes, and after the 7 episodes, they're going to come back next season with another 7 or 10, which is great. Huh. If you have to watch a 20-episode season, they're not gearing it up for that anymore, which bothers me.
Huh.
Of course, it depends on what show you're watching. Look at the success that AMC has had with The Walking Dead, and how fast that has taken off, and how it's blown the ratings out of the water over something that no one expected, none of the studios would pick up, but AMC did. So you just never know. You never know what's going to resonate with viewers or readers
and
or anything.
Breaking Bad too.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not forget Breaking Bad, which won every award known to man. Everything but the Oscar, but it's gotten Emmys, it's gotten Grammys, it's gotten oh my God.
Yep.
And television used to have a 22-episode season, and you used to watch it, and it was religious. Now nobody has time for it, which is, where you see it. I see it on demand. I see it 2 to 3 days later after the show's aired.
Same here. I don't have time to sit in front of the TV most of the time when these shows are on. I just catch them when I can.
3 o'clock in the morning is the best time in the world to watch it.
And I hate commercials.
I usually try to sleep.
I'm
sorry?
I don't
have a DVR, so I can't skip anything, and commercials are the worst.
I hate commercials.
No. So I'll watch it a season late on Netflix, and then I don't have to screw with commercials.
Yeah, you get
I don't
to
care.
Avoid all the garbage.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I hate to say it. I like I like the old mini and maxi series, like Rich Man, Poor Man, and North and South, and Winds of War, and Noble House. And I used to love those things. And now that they're on DVD, I don't have to wait until next week or see a commercial in the middle of something or whatever and just enjoy the thing straight out like a movie. Or, you know, and if I have to, somebody calls, I can break it up and do it if I want to or whatever. Which nowadays TV is it used to be so much, used to be 51 minutes for shows. Now it's like 40 minutes a show, 41 minutes a show. And you know, you have to tell stories in 3 parts, 6 parts, 12 parts, whatever. And that's terrible. Candy, you're quiet.
You know what? I'm always quiet. But
I know, but
yeah,
I...
you guys are... I'm listening to the conversation, so don't worry. I have not fallen asleep yet.
Okay. I just want to make sure. Either that or you were listening to Z Radio. Shameless promotion, I know.
No, I'm just listening into what you guys are talking about. I actually wanted to chime in on the movie scene that you guys were talking about, that they're like remaking everything. And I discussed that with a director one time, and he, you know, fresh out of school a couple years back, and he said, you know, what in the world is going on? Why can't they, you know, use some of these indie writers and take some of their books? Because there were, like, so many coming out, like Ashley, you know, and quite a few other people. And it's like, what in the world is going on? What are they trying to do? They're trying to irritate us or something? Because some of the movies that they have remade, bite. They just, they're terrible.
Oh, true.
You know, to me, I don't think they're improving it. They're just putting it out to put it out because it's a money thing. That's all it's about. That's one thing I have, excuse me, definitely discovered with so many things out there. It's all about money.
It's all about money, and it's all about the special effects. What can
they
do?
Does anybody remember a series called The Transporter with Jason Statham?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Jason Statham.
Yep, sorry, you're right. I'm wrong. But they're now making a TV. Yeah, well, they're now making a TV series called The Transporter. This series, and it's like, why?
They had one in the UK, I think. I guess they're doing an American version of it.
No. It's the European one is out on TNT. That's what they're putting out.
Oh, okay. Because they had one several years ago. And I can't remember. It's really, really hard to find it because I wanted to watch it. I don't think they even have it on Netflix. And I can't remember the actor that plays Frank on that, but...
Chris
yeah.
Vance.
Is
and
that, okay,
they're right now running it on TNT. They did the first season a couple of years ago, and it's semi-successful. They did a second season because TNT bought it for European. But what scares me more is... there was a movie called Psycho 4. Norman Bates. Yes, they did Psycho 1, Psycho 2, Psycho 3. Psycho 4, the beginning, basically they remade as a TV series called The Bates Motel.
Oh,
which is,
yeah, I've seen it.
But
yeah,
it's like,
my kids were hooked on that.
Yeah, and it's coming back for the next season. It's like, oh, my God.
Oh, God. It's really horrible. I watched a couple episodes. My kids got hooked on it and watched the whole thing. And they're saying, Mom, you need to watch the rest of this. Like, No.
I could not sit through one episode with my daughter. The one thing I'm really looking forward to is 12 Monkeys, 16 Monkeys, whatever
mm-hmm.
like that show.
12 Monkeys.
Mm-hmm. Monkeys. Cannot wait. Oh, my gosh. It looks so good.
Yeah, but I miss Bruce Willis.
And Brad Pitt.
Mm-hmm.
No, just Bruce Willis. Yippee-ki-yay.
Okay, now we're drooling.
Where's the towels?
The old Brad
the
Pitt.
Drooling towel,
oh,
Bennett.
I'm
come on.
I'm passing off the hot towels now, I know.
You know what I'm curious to know is what genres do all these ladies write in?
Oh, jeez, well, you took question. My question, but that's okay. You're allowed.
Psychic in me, Bennett.
Go ahead.
Yes, Ashley, what do you write in?
Oh, gosh. Lots
that's
of things.
A radio host, too, so I'm sorry.
Mostly suspense thrillers. I have started off from that in a couple of my books. The Lie, which is currently in production for a movie, is a Christian suspense thriller. And my newest release that's coming out, Growl, is paranormal. So it just depends. It just depends on what strikes me.
I got to tell you, and I will say this in front of, I've said this in front of Ashley and behind her too. The number 75 scared the out of me. And I will say it in public and in private. It scared the out of me. You can put your own word in if you want. You want me to bleep it? Bleep. Okay, thank you. But it was, God, lady, I don't know where you got this or where you dreamed this up, but you scared the out of me.
That was the whole point.
I know, but I'm just telling you, I've said it before, I've said it again, I will say it and repeat it. It's like everybody says, oh, 50 Shades of Grey, I got to see it. I got to tell you, I like Elizabeth Black's Don't Call Me Baby better than 50 Shades of Grey, and I think it's a better written book. The number 75 is the same way. It scared the pants off me, and it's like I don't know where Elizabeth Black came up with her Don't Call Me Baby, and I don't know where you came up with the number 75, but it's like, okay, it just is, it's frightening.
Well, thank you. That was the whole point of it, but yes. So, you know, it just strikes me, whatever.
And I'm a guy, Ashley. A guy shouldn't be scared of these things. You scared the out of me.
I'm currently in the process of writing a three-part mystery series with my mother, which is really exciting. And it's going to be a Southern suspense series based in Arkansas, so that's fun. So, you know, just whatever strikes me.
Awesome. Yeah.
Okay. So, Candy, tell them how you. Candy, how did you get it? How did you get? How did you write Z Raider? Because I remember its first incarnation.
Yeah. The first incarnation, that was just, you know, it was a concept. I had not even gotten really into The Walking Dead or, you know, any of these things, and I always had this fear. If I have a fear, I write about it. And I used to be deathly afraid of zombies. And I started it, I think, in 2011, 2012. And I thought, you know, I had this concept, so I wrote it the first time. And according to the readers, it royally sucked, and I wasn't all that great at, you know, all the stuff that I've learned, you know, from other writers, readers, and all this other. So it's coming back out, and it's very different. It has,
well,
like,
I will say this about you, Candy, and I'll say this now, and I'll say this next week. I will tell you, I read almost everything you write, except for the hysterectomy book. I've missed that one, and I'm not going to read it. A friend of mine I love dearly wrote a book on breastfeeding. No offense, I love her dearly, too, but I ain't going to read that either.
You're a guy.
But
you're not interested in reading
read those
things about ladies.
I'm sorry. I missed the comment. What was this?
I said you're a guy. You're not interested in reading things about ladies.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm interested in reading a lot of things about ladies, but no, not those
it's
two
not
things.
That.
I love reading a lot of things about beautiful ladies, and there are five beautiful ladies here tonight, and I want to make sure that people know who they're listening to for a few minutes. The lovely Ashley Fontaine, the lovely Bree Clark, the talented and lovely Candy O'Donnell, the wonderfully talented and lovely Delaney Oakes, and the crazy and wonderful and magnificent, have I got enough adjectives, Madison Sevier. And if anybody doesn't like the monikers I've given them, they could switch off. I don't care.
I'm bossy.
I think I'll keep crazy.
I'm glad she said that and not me, because I was being nice. I was being nice. So where do you guys get your writing inspirations? And let me start off with Delaney.
I mean, sometimes it's things that happen to me. Other times, usually when I'm driving, I think, oh, wow, it would be interesting to, you know, put these two people from completely different backgrounds together. I write predominantly romantic suspense, and I write some romance, some sci-fi futuristic romance stuff, and I have a couple historical romances, and heavily on the romance, if you hadn't noticed. But I like to take people from kind of diverse backgrounds and bring them together and see what happens. And I don't know. I got ideas for my historical walking around St. Augustine at the Castillo de San Marcos up there, the big fort, because it was, you hear all the voices of everybody echoing, and it's almost like the walls are talking to you and telling you stories. And I was wandering around with a bunch of fourth graders trying to make sure they didn't go jumping off the gun deck into the moat. And,
oh, God, come on. That would have been fun.
Oh, but there's no water. It's a dry moat. So we're not looking
at shark
attacks.
Oh, okay, never mind.
They have broken legs. No, I really wasn't into that. I had all boys, and there were 15 of them because one of the chaperones didn't come. And that was fun. But I just got this feeling of there's stories here that need to be told. And by the time I got home, the voice of the main character was just talking to me, and she wouldn't shut up. So I had to sit down and write the story because she wouldn't quit talking. That makes me sound like I'm crazy, but it's true.
No. I understood. No. Oh, let me. We've got an I am here, and Donna wants me to talk about Men of Mice. Oh my God, thank you, Donna. I wrote a treatise for a novel set called The Men of Mice, and the lovely people at this publishing house said, I love it. Did you really write this? I said yes, and they couldn't believe I wrote The Men of Mice. And The Men of Mice was a bondish kind of satire. M.I. Yeah, okay, you get the point. And the publisher said, it's a great idea. It's a great spy spoof. A la Austin Powers, we love it. But you wrote it, and we're unsure about it, and we don't really want it. But thank you, though. Have a nice life. And so I may go self-publish it one day. I'm still working on it. I'm still tweaking it.
Mm-hmm.
But thank you, Donna, for reading the Night Owl article that mentioned it. Thank you. Oh, God. It's like somebody read my work for once. Okay. Because I talk about you guys in my Night Owl column and in other columns, but it's so nice when somebody reads it and notices. Oh, my God. That was like 6 months ago. Thank you, Donna. Okay. She's saying, you're welcome. Okay. So, Madison, where do you get your ideas? And don't say cornflake boxes.
Well, right now they're kind of absent, but for my past books I had we had a trip to the Smokies that inspired Smoky Mountain Escape series, and then I live by a large casino that inspired the River Jewel Resort, and then the character sort of just came to me, but the whole thing was based on this casino down there in this resort, but it's sort of a magical paranormal resort that a lot of people won't really figure out until the fourth book comes out. They just think it's just a coincidence of all these things that happen. And then the monster books, those were just a joke that was between another author and myself, and people actually ended up liking them. And Wicked by Nature, that was just, that is that was just my spin on a paranormal romance with a whole lot of comedy and sarcasm. I like to write things that are based in reality, sort of. I mean, except the monster books, of course, but the rest of them, and then throw in a lot of humor because life, it's never predictable like a lot of romances are, and I wanted it to be like, you're not going to believe this is going to happen, or this is going to happen, or these two people that seem like they're so, such polar opposites, you know, just like in Natural Lust. It was a book reviewer and an author who said, I didn't know
it
that 2 years
me,
later
promise,
there would be
me.
Authors doing it.
It ain't me, I promise. I didn't do it.
Oh, I know. And I mean, I wrote that book, and then this year, you know, this past year, we had all those stories with these reviewers and these authors and all these death threats and problems going on. And I'm like, oh my gosh, why did I ever write that book? You know, hoping I didn't give somebody an idea, you know. But there was never an actual threat itself in the book, just the idea that those threats had been sent. So it ended up being a really cute and quirky romance at the end. But in the beginning, it kind of threw people off, like, are you serious?
Oh, no, it's very true. I've gotten some myself. That's the scary part. But as a reviewer, I've gotten them. So it's scary. I know it does happen. Ashley, I'm going
to escape that.
you're lucky. You're lucky. Ashley, I want to hear especially how you did number 75, but anything else, I'd love to hear how you get your ideas, other than coming from the mountain.
Well, kind of like the first one, which I believe was Delaney, I'm not 100% sure, you know, as a writer, characters come to you, life just happens, and all of a sudden you have that spark of creativity. For Growl, which is coming out the 15th of this month, you'll be happy to know this, Bennett, because I know you were such a fan of Ramblings of a Mad Southern Woman. That is my poetry.
I still am, okay?
Collection.
I still am.
Well, one of the short stories in there was called Death by Shadow, and it was about a young girl that had a scary experience. And I decided to take that and write a full-length novel, and that's where Growl came from. You know, it's just life. There's so many things that happen that we see on a daily basis, and when you're a creative person, your mind takes a hold of something, and you just run. And that's what happens to me. I write, and that's why I love being an indie, because I'm not pigeonholed in I can only write thrillers or I can only write romance or I can only write comedy. I write whatever comes to me. And when it happens, then all of a sudden I'm obsessed with it until I get finished. So, you know, that's kind of where my ideas come from.
And
no one tells you what to do, so that's cool.
Let me take a station identification for about a minute and a half, few minutes. I got to do my homework because people get mad at me otherwise. This is the World of Ink Network. And by the way, before I forget, last week, if you haven't heard Candy O'Donnell's show, you should. It was amazing last week. It was so good. And I'll say that again and again, because I have been. Is that good? It really, really, really was excellent. Thank you, my darling. It really, you know, it was great. And then she's coming back this week. Oh, my God. On the 12th, on the legal show, on the Bennett Pomerantz Network, I will have the lovely chance about talking about cheap airfares with attorney Sarah Abrams and myself discussing the legal implication of the lawsuit that just has been filed by some of the companies like Orbitz and all this against this man who is showing codes to make it cheap, to get cheaper airfares and cheaper hotels and things like that. Then I'm running studio to studio because I'm going from that show at 6:30 to 9:30 at night. I will be running over to Reverie Radio Studio, and Lori Hayes will have 90 minutes with good old lovely me alone. Oh, my God, 90 friggin' minutes, and I can do it. These ladies all know. Candy knows well. She has two YouTube videos with me. Okay, on the 14th on Let's Talk, Huffington Post columnist Rachel Thompson and myself will have the blog talk host Tim Knox as our guest and as well author. On Thursday the 15th, a special Anything Goes, because I will not be available on Friday. And the lovely Candy O'Donnell is my guest. So it'll be nice. And that's that's basically, catching everybody up and everything else. And I wanted to make sure, Candy, what do you got on your show coming up next month? Have you got it planned yet?
Yeah, for next month, I actually have three guests. And I can't think of their names offhand besides. One of them is my PA. And, yeah, I can't wait for that show because we're in the same author house together, Crushing Hearts and Black Butterfly Publishing. And she has some really interesting concepts and ways of promotion, so I can't wait to talk to her about that and about her books. She writes.
Is that
some,
Linda Grimmel?
It is actually Jennifer Ragonza.
Yeah, but yes, she is. Yes. By the way, I didn't ask this. I know when I'm going to come on your show, but Donatella, who has done my show enough, when am I doing your show? I haven't asked. Somebody else asked, so I'm asking for them. Candy?
On who's...
Sorry, I thought you were talking to someone else.
I wasn't sure who you were talking to either.
I'm sorry.
I was just going to ask
Delaney,
you to come
I haven't
on my show
on your show yet. I'm getting there, but that's okay. No.
You, Bennett, you will be on my show in April, and we
that's
will have
you...
a full hour together.
Wow.
See, I get 90 minutes from Lori, and I get an hour from her. I'll take the hour. I will tell you, and I still get emails from people. They're like, I listened to you on this YouTube video. Is that really you? I said, yeah, that's really me. And that's the lovely, talented Candy O'Donnell. And they're like, wow. Boy, you're an opinionated. Bum, bum, bum. And I'm like, oh, yeah, yes, thank you. You know, it's like, yes, I am. But it's like, oh, you know, to me it's exciting, you know, that they still listen to it. So, you know, I thank Candy for it, you know, but they're still listening to it. They're still there. So it's nice. It is. It's very, very nice.
It's on now, Bennett. If you go to Video Bash, it's like a YouTube, except it's like a different concept. Well, it's the same but different. And because I had to remove every single video from YouTube because they kept flagging me, and I finally said, you know what, I'm done with you, so everything is on YouTube. So all of those videos are there. I think I have almost 100 and something interviews that I made videos.
Well, I just, people are still messaging me about them, so I'm very, very happy. Thank you.
Yeah, so they're able to still find them. That's good.
And they found a couple of ones I co-hosted with Ashley. Oh, my God. It's like,
oh, no,
everybody. Yeah, but everybody's like, oh, my God, you're him. I'm like, yeah, okay. I don't know whether to smile or duck under the covers. You know, since this is the first show I'm doing If Any Which Way But Loose for 2015, and I have five beautiful guests, and I say this, what plans do you guys have for this year? Anything, writing, films, anything? And let me start with Bree.
Well, I've decided that I really want to have a much more authentic approach in my writing. And I'm going to be writing a series about a madame. So I've decided to start my own service for escorts. I'm kidding. I'm not doing that.
Remember, this is archived. If the cops show up at your door, it's not my fault.
No, you know,
well,
what?
There's a real big call for that in Boise.
You know, I almost had Sherry Limeade over all of us, almost all over my computer screen.
You know what? My big goal for 2015, I own a marketing company, and so I work with a lot of entrepreneurs, and a lot of those people are like coaches for business and and life and all these things. And so at the beginning of the year, my newsfeed and email, my inbox was flooded with, what's your name? What's going to be your word? What's your plan? Have you made your vision board? And my goal for this year is not to have a plan. You know, I'm a religious person, and I remember having the most success in my life and in my business, and this was when I decided to become an author, was when I would pray, I would say, what's the next thing I should do? And I've just really made it my goal to be open to serve others and to listen to direction from my higher power in order to get me where I can be at a better place, because he has a better plan for me than I ever could. And so that's my big goal for 2015, is to be flexible and to listen and to be open.
Okay. Madison, what's yours? Anything good?
I want to get my next book finished. Completely different than the other things. I'm going for a cozy mystery. So that's what, that's my biggest goal right now. Nothing major.
Delaney, what's yours?
Well, I've always said that I have as many unfinished novels in my repertoire as I have finished. Well, I finally got two more finished than I have unfinished, but I have 55 books that are at various stages of completion, and so my goal is to finish one of those a month. I'm trying. And
good
then I've
you.
Got to start publishing them.
So do I have to play Jewish mother and message you every couple of weeks and say, how's the book coming?
Oh, please don't.
I did that for Tom Restivo, and he got three books republished. So, you know, it depends. I can be your next Jewish mother.
I did really well, though. I mean, I kind of set that as a loose goal in June of last year. And between June and December, I finished off 13 of them. I did 14 last year, and I finished off 13 of them from June on. So I really felt good about that. Now I just got to get them published. I could sit down and publish for the next 15 years just about with what if I put out four books a year, with the number of books that I have finished, I could go 14 and a quarter years without writing anything else. Seriously,
well, I'm waiting. Go ahead. 4 a year sounds good. 1 a month is good too. Go ahead. I'll dare you.
I don't want to have
I'll
to.
I'll dare you. Go ahead. Miss Ashley, what are your plans you have? I know you're busier than bumblebees. So you have 1, 2, 3. How many? 4, 6. What coming out now or what?
I have so much going on. My goal this year is just to retain my sanity.
good luck.
We have a nice jacket that folds in the back for you if you want to borrow it, and the room is
yeah,
padded.
Very comfy.
Exactly. You know, I'm really
it's a comfy
living
room.
Up to my, you know, my moniker of Rambling Mad Southern Woman has now come to fruition. So, you know, we have the movies going, and I've got this 3-book series that I'm working on with my mom, and then I've got 2 others that are going to be probably about the same length as number 75 that are going to be coming this year. So it's going to be, you know, crazy busy, but, you know, that's what happens when you have that creative mind. You can't shut it off.
And you're coming back and doing radio again, I hope.
Yes, I have my first show actually next Friday night at 10 o'clock. I will actually be interviewing the marketing manager for PressBooks.com, which is an amazing site for authors. If those of you out there that are listening that are looking for a way to make fantastic e-books and print through a really unbelievable site for a very tiny amount of money, as opposed to hiring a book designer, I highly recommend them. I use them for my recent novel, Growl, and was so impressed with the results. So I'm going to have them on, and then, of course, I have other guests that are coming. So, yeah, I'm coming back.
And I'm free after Friday the 13th, March Friday the 13th. So after that, I'm free. So if you want to invite me anytime after March the 13th, Friday the 13th, I'm available.
Okay.
I'm just telling you, I'm booked solid through March 13th. And they're like, oh, February? No, March.
March the 13th.
Oh, me
yeah,
too.
On March 13th, I have K.B. Miller going, a paranormal author, K.B. Miller is going to be my guest on Friday the 13th in March. So that'll be nice. Mm-hmm. It'll be lovely. And I'm free after that because Ashley and I keep threatening each other to come on each other's show. So it's like I want to be there. I want to come visit, and we keep being busy as heck, both of us. So
it's crazy, you know. I've got two
I'll X out my schedule for you and make a Thursday show to make sure I can do that. Miss Candy, would you like to tell them, other than you've got enough Z Radio to last me a lifetime?
Yeah, that book, and then I have the re-release of Psychic Perception next month, and the long-awaited book called Dragonfly will be out in August with Crushing Hearts and Black Butterfly Publishing. I am so excited about that series. There's three books in it. And the first one's Dragonfly, second one's Firefly, and the third one will be Butterfly. So, and it's angels versus demons, but there is some romance in it. To tell you the truth, I would say that this is probably the best series I have ever written.
And, of course, you will be doing once a month, the first Saturday of the month, you'll be on the World of Ink Network.
Yep.
On your own show, on the working harder than Three Women Alive, because I heard the last one. You are good, my dear.
Thank you so much. Well, I've had some great mentors, and I've been doing it for over 4 years. So, yeah, I'm pretty excited about being on World of Ink and back interviewing authors, doing it once a week. I used to do it like 4 or 5 times a week, and it just about killed me. So once a month is perfect. That way I have plenty of time to write, along with my full-time jobs of working and being a wife, you know, a mother, and being at home with the animals. Because I work at home, so we play the in-and-out game all day long. I got to go potty. I don't have to go potty.
Okay. Let me ask. Josh was just asked me a stupid question, and I'm not happy about it, but that's okay. I'll answer it anyway. Yes, what am I doing, Joshua? Well, my 215 is busy. What am I doing? I have the legal show. I have Let's Talk. I have Anything Goes. I have this show bimonthly. Of course, Candy has the first Saturday, and I have the second Saturday and the fourth Saturday. Those are mine. Then, lovely as it is and will be, and I enjoy it immensely, even though people are dropping out of this queue, I don't know why, but that's okay. I have a lovely chance and a lovely opportunity to produce a show called The Women Show, which we will have 4 women hostesses, which will be really, really nice. Marjorie Wallingshaw, Valerie Douglas, Naomi Blackburn, and Elizabeth Black all will be hostesses, 1 a week. I know Elizabeth has a show in March with Gina Kincaid from Naughty Nights, and other people will be popping in. I'm just producing, folks. I'm just sitting back and letting these ladies be the greatest talent they are, and I will have a great time with them. And so that, and of course, other things I'm working like I normally work, and I miss people and enjoy, you know, doing what I have to do. So who's still with us? Because this thing is going crazy. I don't know why.
I'm still here.
I'm here.
Okay. Mouse Couture, roll call. Because we had 2 people pop off. I want Copy. No. Okay. I know Candy and Ashley are I know that's not proper English, hosts of their own Blog Talk Radio show. And is Delaney still with us?
Yes, I'm here.
You're here? Good.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. Okay. But you ladies have been hostesses, host, whatever the term, you know, if I say somebody a hostesses, they end up saying, no, I'm a host, fine, whatever, I want to make sure everybody's happy. So Delaney, before we went on air, was telling us a story about having a guest on one of her shows. I'd love to hear any of the good stories you have of being a host, hostess, whatever, of a radio show.
Well, what I started to tell you earlier was I was taking pain medication because I was going through chemo and it was very, very painful. And I had two wonderful guests, Nick Grabowski and Seth Anderson Bailey, on my show. And we were having a good time and we were talking about their books. And Nick does horror short stories. And he had one that I had read that I really, really liked. And it had a sort of difficult title. And I was sitting there trying to say this. Mind you, my tongue didn't want to work because of the pain medication. And I was struggling and struggling. And I finally said, you've got to say this for me because I can't say this. And I felt so stupid. When you hear the title, you will understand. It was Freeway Reaper. And I have trouble saying that. I can't, because I have enough trouble saying that when I haven't been drinking or on drugs. And so with the medication in my system, saying Freeway Reaper, it just wasn't happening. I said some things that I don't even go back and listen to that show, because I don't know what all I said, but it was so embarrassing. And they just were so nice about it. They were so sweet. And two of the most wonderful guests, just fabulous guys. I'm going to have to get them back on again soon, because they were a lot of fun. But that was otherwise not a great show.
Ashley, do you have one? I think she's gone. I don't know.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
Candy, you still with us?
I sure am.
Oh, good. Any good ones other than me?
Yes. Shows have been with actors and actresses. The one that I have to mention is with an actress friend of mine. She's also a producer and director, and she's out of L.A., and she owns Monster Works. And her name is Maria Olson. She is from South Africa. She is an amazing woman to have on if you guys are ever interested in having an actress that she has been in movies, quite a few, actually, and she is great. And then another one is Bill Oberst Jr. He is amazing actor. He's probably been in over 200 movies, and, of course, they're all indie movies. But wow. I mean, if you want to talk about a down-to-earth person, both of these people are totally I adore them very much.
Well, go ahead.
Bennett.
I was going to tell I had this problem with the word unusual for years.
No.
Oh, yeah. And it was like, it's not unusual. So I have to sing, it's not unusual to be. I was doing Tom Jones on every time I would say, yeah, it's not unusual to be. It was like, not unusual to be. Yeah. And Diane Chapman, I don't know, she's like, how strange is it? You know, I always have to do that. She says, yeah, you try to say unusual. Yeah, I am. And to me, it was like,
I have trouble spelling necessary and unnecessary, and if I'm typing, I have to sit there and spell it aloud to myself. Unnecessary. Oh, I got a message on Facebook. Ashley's phone died, and so I said I would pass that information on to you.
And I will let me do a quick promotion for Ashley. If you haven't got the number 75 on Audible in book form, it's well worth it. She's got films coming up. Ashley Fontaine, just look her up on Facebook. She's got like 4 sites, and she's also got her own site, so it's wonderful. See, I try to be helpful. I'm prejudiced, but she is amazing. She's a wonderful lady. But I will tell you the other story, which kills me. There is a writer who works for World Castle, and he still works for World Castle, and he's a lovely gentleman. And I was on a show with another science fiction writer and I, and we were talking about science fiction, of course. And this gentleman, and I love the gentleman who is not, he's a great writer. He's a very intelligent, classy writer, and I'm not going to give his name, but he can't talk on the radio. He's like, so what do you think about the,
oh, no.
Yeah. And Keith DeCandido was on the show with us, and Keith says, so what do you think about it? And he was filling in. Keith and I were not trying to take away from this gentleman, but we kept, you know, just being who we are and loving each other as friends. It was great. I don't know what's happening with the boards. Everybody keeps vanishing here. So, yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
You remember my first show with you, how I kept getting knocked off?
Yeah, you kept vanishing on me, yes. I was going to tell that one. I was going to tease you. You got it already. You were good.
Oh, it was so awful. I felt so terrible.
Think you were terrible. I didn't vanish on you on any of the shows. I had to run over to my studio.
I know. I was so embarrassed. But, you know, it always happens when you are most wanting a show to go really well, and as a host or as a guest. But I had one of my best shows, I had Janet and Chris Morris on, and she's written sci-fi forever. She's got like 60 different published books and so forth, and just a phenomenal author. And I fell in love with her books shortly after I first got married. She was one of the writers in the original Thieves World Sanctuary books.
Oh, yeah.
And I fell in love with her books. And I happened to cross her on Facebook, and I said, oh, would you please be on my show? And then I was thinking, oh, my God, we're going to have technical difficulties. Oh, my God, everything's going to go wrong. And I was freaking out. And it went beautifully. It went just beautifully. And she and her husband were so lovely and gracious. And he's a musician as well as a writer.
Yes,
so
he is.
He was reading her book, and just has this fabulous baritone voice that's just rumbling along.
Oh, God, it is.
Oh, it was just delicious. And I told him when they first got on, I said, I have to have a giggly fan moment because I've been a fan of yours for 30 years. And she just thought that was so funny. She took it beautifully.
I got to tell the story about this lady. Her name is Debbie Smith of the Smith Sisters and the Four Bitchin' Babes. I love Debbie Smith. And I don't know how. I asked her and she said, yes.
Ooh.
Like, dear Lord, it was like fanboy time. It's like, oh, my God, I'm getting Debbie Smith. Oh, my God, I'm going to die. You know. If I would have passed on, the world would have been happy, you know, because I got Debbie Smith on my show. Mm-hmm. And, oh, I love her music. I love the Four Bitchin' Babes. I love everything Debbie Smith does. I read her book that she co-wrote with her mother, and she was so impressed that I knew everything about her.
Wow.
And I told her before the show, I'm not stalking you. I promise. And she was so impressed, and she sent me an email afterwards. She says, you are up on me. I said, yeah. And, it was right before the Christmas season, and she had a concert she was giving, I think, on the 21st of December that year at the Birchmeyer, which is near me in the D.C. area. And I love Debbie Smith, and she, you know, I said, you're getting me tickets, and she says, I'll check into it, and was sold out. But if it wasn't 2-1, I'd be having seats to see Debbie. It was like, oh yeah. I went totally fanboy, but I was trying to, you know, and thank God it was a Let's Talk show with Rachel. So I said, I don't think my mouth will work. And she says, your mouth will work. And thank God for Rachel. Rachel Thompson was wonderful because it was like, you'll be fine. Before the show, before Debbie got on, you'll be fine. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm good.
If I didn't have my assistant, Christina Jaguar, I don't know how I would do any shows, because she does all the technical stuff. She watches the switchboard, and she makes sure that there are no trolls in the chat room. And, you know, if the guest is talking about their website or their books or whatever, she's putting all that stuff up. And
well, if she's not available, give me a holler. I would do it for you anytime. You know that.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much. Well, she usually is, thank God, but every once in a while, she lives in Cleveland and her weather gets awful. And we have a show Monday, so I'm hoping she'll have power. Really
Monday
crazy.
I've got a double header. I can always do a triple header. I have a bone to pick with you, by the way. A good bone, but a bad bone. I did your show, and then I did my show, and a couple hours later I had a heart attack.
What? Oh, no. I am so sorry.
It's not your fault. I mean, but it was like I did the Lainey show, then I did show, the legal show, and then I had a heart attack. You know, like, yeah, right, just what I need. Yeah.
Well, you know, the good thing that comes from all this is you're still around to talk about it. You're still here to talk about it.
when I had my first heart attack, I got to tell you, when I had my first heart attack, which I thought was really funny, was Rachel's book, Broken Pieces, had just been released about a few months before. And I had my first heart attack, and the woman, my cardiologist, looked at me and says, can I talk to you privately for a second after? She says, yeah, you're fine. We can let you out tomorrow. Great. Wonderful. No problem. She says, can I ask you a personal question? I said, sure. You know, she only knows my heart. Sure, why not? And she says, are you the same Bennett Pomerantz that wrote Rachel Thompson's Broken Pieces Forward? I said, yes. Mm-hmm. She says, I know who you are, Mr. Pomerantz. I'm like, okay.
Oh, boy.
And I was at another writer's signing at a Barnes & Noble. Now, I'm supportive. If Delaney, if you were local, I would be at a signing for you and sit there, you know?
I know. I appreciate that.
I would, Mark David is good, by the way. I love him, but that's beside the point. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about that later. But the thing is that I was at a signing, and she said, Bennett. And which is my name. It's been my name for my life, so I'm very, very happy about it. And I will say this, and I am very proud of it. She says, Bennett, and this woman says, are you Bennett Pomerantz? And I'm thinking, okay, she has a subpoena, you know, or I'm in trouble. And this woman says, yeah. She says, did you write the foreword to this book? And pulls out a copy of Book Tropes, copy of Rachel Thompson. Thompson. Thank you. If I could pronounce, I'll be good. Broken Pieces, which I wrote the first foreword, and I'm writing the afterword to Broken Places, which is very nice, and will be out soon. And I said, yeah, I'm him. Would you sign it? I said, pay for it, and I'll sign it. Sure.
Wow.
And my friend says, damn you, Pomerantz. I'm just standing there being supportive.
Oh, jeez. Oh, boy. You know what I just realized? I've had two opportunities to tell about my book that's coming out on the 27th, and I've forgotten both times.
Well, go ahead
and
tell me.
If you don't mind,
I
need to mention it, because if my publisher listens to this show tomorrow,
well, wait a second. Come on. Tell me.
It is called Undiscovered. It's a romantic suspense set in Florida in 2010, and it's coming out from Tiergar Publishing on Tuesday, January 27th. And
okay.
I'm really excited. It's a wonderful, wonderful book.
Okay.
So there's my plug.
Who else is left other than you and I?
I don't know.
I don't know. Who's 916? Hello?
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 I'm still here.
Yay. Good. Well, say, so tell me, what else is new?
Well,
everybody else has vanished. I don't know what happened to them.
Oh, my gosh.
Ashley's phone died. Bree went, so I don't know. Go ahead.
I have a whole lot going on. I'm writing my little head off, and the best part about 2014 is two publishing companies picked me up, King Snake Publishing and Hearts and Black Butterfly Publishing, and I'm still, indie writing on the side as well. So it was funny because I think it was in October or November, I had 14 books coming out in 2015, and I had to shave that down because I was just getting too stressed out, and I told them, can we, put that over 2 years at least? So
let me ask you a simple question. Do you have any good stories about being a radio hostess? Hostess, whatever.
No, I have no stories coming out about that.
Oh, I do.
No, I'm not talking book-wise. I'm talking old ones. You don't have any good ones? Other than you've had me.
I've had some interesting authors and writers, but the funny thing is the actors and directors that I've had on have been absolutely amazing. I would say next to Ben and Pomerantz, of course, they have been.
Thank you. I 20 is in. I'm setting the 20. Okay.
if you want more,
I only guaranteed 20.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Getting to know, and most, they're all indie, of course. And from their point of view, they would rather utilize an indie author or, they're 9 times out of 10, they will write their own stuff. I just find it completely amazing and incredible, and I've seen a lot of the short films on YouTube and everywhere else, and I have a friend named Rocky Cartledge, and he was a paranormal investigator for many years, turned movie director, producer, and he has some really, really incredible stuff coming out this year. That has to do with the paranormal and real life paranormal activity. So I'm really looking forward to his stuff this year. But otherwise, I'm just, kind of chugging along, doing my thing, really working hard on my author page on Facebook and, of course, enjoying life at the same time. And it's so funny because I don't know why, but I have really turned a corner this year. And I'm just not letting things bother me the way that they used to. I'm really looking at life from a whole different perspective. I'm happier. We moved. We moved out of an area I just could not stand and moved into an area that I absolutely love. We're surrounded by two lakes. We have ducks and geese and wild rabbits, and I post a lot of that
stuff
online.
And you haven't invited me to go sleep on the couch to come visit. I mean, really. I thought I was going to be invited for the housewarming. Okay. I'm kidding.
No,
no,
I know. Well, Bennett, you're welcome. We'll go fishing.
Okay, I love it. Oh, don't tempt me going fishing on the dock. But I'm a little upset because a friend of mine is an actor. He's been a writer, and he threatened me to come on my show in 2013. He got a big movie on 2014, and the studio won't let him come on my show until 2016.
Oh,
good grief.
Oh, that's
the studio. I'm sorry?
That's crazy.
Oh, no. It's a big, big studio release.
Oh,
I can't give the name of this film. But let's say he's one of the big celebrities that is wrapped up. He's a writer. He's an actor. He's a director. He's an animated voice. I can't give his name out because I would be... He wouldn't like it too much right now. But he's 2016. Yeah, 2016, he's coming on the show. I will tell you, he is a star. And there won't be any wars about his coming on the show. I didn't say anything. You notice I kept it clean, so that way I don't have to hear about it. But yes, he will be on the show in 2016.
Lovely.
Cool.
Yes, so we're going to get excited, and I can't give names out because I don't want to end up him in trouble and me in trouble. But, yeah, and it's not Ken Farmer. Even though John Lansing may come. John Lansing wrote scripts for Walker, Texas Ranger, but it'll be nice, and so it'll be fun. Okay. It'll be nice, but this gentleman has threatened me, you know, a couple of years ago. Now, hopefully, he'll come on the show, and he and I will BS for about 30 minutes and have a good time, because I don't think he'll do the 90-minute show. He has no patience for 90 minutes. His wife doesn't have patience for 90 minutes. No, he's a good guy. Okay, Mark, if you're listening, and I know you are, I didn't say your name. You notice? I didn't say his name, so I'm going to stay alive.
Good. Good. You like
good.
That.
Candy, Delaney, yes. I want you to tell them your links, Spinks, and Jinxes, how these lovely people can get a hold of you. Anything you want to tell them to find of yours, pick up, you know.
Okay.
Let's start with Candy, because I don't hear enough of her always.
That's fine. Well, people can find me on Facebook, Twitter. I have an author page on Facebook. I'm really working hard for, and I just became a mention on Facebook a week and a half ago. Everybody knows what that means. It means that you are acknowledged by Facebook as being a real person. So I'm very happy about that.
I always thought of you as a real person. When did you change?
Well, you know, it was mainly for celebrities and famous people, and if you can actually prove that you are an actual breathing being, you can be among the elite too. And so that's what I've been doing, and people can find me at my blogspot, authorcandyodonnell.blogspot.com. I help promote other authors on there for free. I love doing it, so I always tell everybody, get a hold of me at candyodonnell@gmail.com with your book stuff, and I'll throw it up on there on a day you specify. If you have a cover reveal or anything else, just hand it over to me, and I'll put it up for you. So I love
you are mentioning
that,
and I'm going to say this, and not because I'm promoting me, but she will be a guest on the 15th on Anything Goes at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're going to talk more about Z Radio. We're going to be talking about a lot of things, and I get the chance to turn the tables on her because, you know, she has those two wonderful YouTube videos of me. Now it's my turn to have her in my hot seat. That came out so bad, but you knew what I meant.
You will be in my hot seat in April, so be careful.
Uh-oh, yeah, you better be careful.
Oh, well, you see, I got the seat warmers to go with. Four on the floor, you know, hitting a low rider, da, da, da. Okay. That's why I love this. I laugh too much. Jeez, that's why they think I'm drunk. Delaney, would you... go ahead.
Okay. No, I was going to say, I understand, because all through high school, everybody thought I did drugs because I was always laughing. Like, no, I just find things humorous. There are no drugs involved.
I did the show with Lindsay Downs on Anything Goes, and we were laughing too hard through the whole show, and people said, you guys were drunk. I'm going, no.
No. He's a fun guest, too. He's a lovely man,
but he and I were just laughing so hard at different other things that it was like, people were like, you guys are drunk. No, we're not drunk.
Yeah. No. Well, I am also on Facebook. You can find me there. I have a Twitter account, but I put stuff up using Twuffer because I don't enjoy being on Twitter. But anyway, I have my blog is Delaney Oaks. wordpress.com, and I share some of my unpublished novels there in serial form, and that's on every Wednesday and Sunday. And right now I'm sharing one of my romantic suspense novels called Snowed, and it's set in Cheyenne, Wyoming, of all places, and it snows on Halloween, and it goes from there. The funny thing was, when I started writing that book, I had a dear, dear friend from high school who was living in Cheyenne at the time, and I told her about the book, and she said, oh, my God, you're not going to believe it, but there's a snowstorm expected. We're going to have a blizzard Halloween weekend. It was just freaky. I didn't even know that. But so I'm there. I have another blog, writersanctuary.blogspot.com, and you can find me on Amazon. I have 8 books out. Well, I have 7 books out, and the 8th one's coming on the 27th. Undiscovered, a romantic suspense. What else do you want to know?
Don't forget the tea time.
Oh, yes, my shows. I have first show of 2015 is going to be this Monday at 4 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. That's Delaney's Tea Time. And I've got just some of the other hosts on with me. We're just going to have fun. So I'm talking to Christina Jaguer, my assistant, Karen Vaughn, Marta Moran Bishop, and J.D. Holliday, and we're just going to sit around and have fun and talk about our book.
And if she doesn't behave herself, I may pop in to say, hi!
I never behave
myself.
Just
tell Christina I'm coming.
I will. I will tell her to be prepared. He knows the number. Look out for him.
You know I'm coming. He's coming.
Yes. And then on Tuesday, I'll be a guest on Karen Vaughn's Writers Roundtable at 4 p.m. Eastern, also on Blog Talk Radio. And that'll be fun. She and Christina and I, Christina and I were her first two guests last year when she did her first show in January. And so this is her anniversary show, so we're coming back to be her guests again. So it's going to be a lot of fun. And I'm going to be doing a lot of talking between now and Tuesday.
Jeez, you sound like you're doing nothing. I mean, really, you're lazy. You're taking it so simple.
I'm just running my mouth. I can do that.
You know,
while
you can
down.
Always you can always drop by Referee Radio on Monday and visit me at 9:30 at night. You know, I'm going to be the sole guest for night. I'll be all alone other than Lori and I.
Oh.
It's like, you know, sure, come visit. Candy, the invitation's 2-1. Come on over. Come
you'll
on over, harass
me.
It's all right. I don't mind being harassed. Pout, pout, pout. Ladies, it's been a pleasure, as always. It has been fun. It has been enjoyable. I love these two ladies. I love all my guests. I just wish they all were here. Phone problems and everything else, and people disappear. So just to me, hey, thank you all for coming and listening. You guys are what makes the show. So good night. Fly right. Be well. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.